بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد Beliefs regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Belief number one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was always in existence and will always remain in existence Allah ta'ala is ever living The whole universe was non-existent When Allah ta'ala created the world it came into existence In many verses of the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares that He created the world. The world did not come into existence by itself or by any big bang. The perfect administration and regulation of the universe speaks for itself by testifying that our Creator and Supervisor is an extremely knowledgeable, wise, powerful and mighty being. A few logical examples. A person looks at a book which is beautifully penned. That is, the book is extremely beautiful and the language therein very eloquent. Logically, he will realize that this is not the result of ink and is coincidental and accidental movements, but the work of an experienced and expert author and calligrapher. Number two, a person looks at a beautiful palace which has numerous spacious and impressive rooms, extremely beautiful carpets and lights, as well as equally attractive springs and fountains. Only a foolish person will claim that this is the result of the coincidental mixing of sand and water. Any intelligent person will be forced to exclaim that this is the work of expert engineers and builders. Number three, when looking at a watch, one observes all the intricate parts within it. He then notes the accurateness of its movement and its meticulous functioning. The obvious conclusion will be that the watch has been constructed by an expert watchmaker. If someone claims that a blind, deaf and dumb person who has no knowledge or understanding of watchmaking is the one who constructed this watch, then no sane person will accept this conclusion. Alternatively, if someone claims that this is a result of coincidental and accidental movements of matter which gave rise to the form of the watch, and then after further movements of this matter, all the intricacies of the watch was formed, all these parts got together by themselves and started functioning, giving correct time, then he will be regarded as insane. So the perfect movement, functioning and existence of the entire universe all point to the existence of a most powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-hearing, most wise being. One incident, once a group of atheists came to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi with the intention of killing him. The Imam asked them what they would say about a person who claims that he sees a ship laden with goods sailing on the sea and he takes goods from one end to the other. The ship navigates the waves perfectly, and there is no sailor to steer the ship. The goods get loaded on and off the ship by themselves. They replied that it is such a nonsensical contention that no sane human would accept it. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi told them, "Pity on your intelligence. If a ship cannot sail and operate without a sailor, how can the entire universe operate without an operator?" Upon hearing this, all of them were embarrassed. They repented and accepted Islam at Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi's hands. Last night in the Taraweeh Salah, second para, the first quarter, second quarter, until half of the third para was recited, one and a quarter paras. In the first ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the ayat of Bir, where, as we had mentioned yesterday, certain people had objected, why is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam facing a certain direction, now he has changed the direction. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that actual piety is not just the direction a person is facing. If it's the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person must face it. But one is the surat of itaat, the outward form of obedience, and one is the reality of obedience. And the reality of obedience is whatever is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person must follow it. For example, the outward form of obedience, a person is performing salah at the wall time. Outwardly it seems he's performing salah, but it's against the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or for example, a person is fasting, he must stay. So he eats 10 minutes later, then he says, never mind, to cover up for this, at night I will fast another 2-3 hours. So there is a form of ibadat and itaat and obedience. But the reality is not there, you are not following the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says not only the outward form, but the reality, what is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And these are 5 branches. So Allah ta'ala has mentioned each of the 5 branches here. Man amana billahi wal yawmil akhir. Firstly, a person's iman must be correct. Then a person must fulfill the rights of other people. وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ ذَوِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينُ وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ وَالسَّائِلِينَ وَفِي الرِّقَابِ. Fulfill what we call mu'asharat. A person must make sure his mu'asharat is correct. Then wa aqama salata wa ata zakah. A person must all his ibadat, acts of worship must be done correctly. And wal mufuna bi ahdihim, his business transactions must be correct, his muamalat. Wa sabirina fil ba'sa'i wa dharra'i wa hinil ba'as. The root of all good akhlaq in character is sabr. So he must have the quality of sabr within himself. So all the five branches of deen when they are in a person, ulaika alladhina sadaqu wa ulaika humul muttaqun. These are the truthful people, and these are the people who have got taqwa within their lives. In the other ayat of the Quran, Allah says, ittaqu allaha wa kunu ma'as sadiqin. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have taqwa, and be with the righteous and the pious people. So a question comes, who is the sadiqin? The true people. So in this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that the people who have got all the five branches of deen in their lives, they are the ones, ulaika alladhina sadaqu wa ulaika humul muttaqun. They are the ones who have got taqwa. They are the ones who are truthful. So a person must stay in the company of such people who all the five branches of deen is in their life. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now in detail mentioned, this was very concise, Allah ta'ala mentioned the ayat of fear, what is piety, very briefly Allah mentioned it, and now in great detail Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the rest of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that what is actual piety, all the different commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is that to look after the whole society, protection of the whole society. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made qisas, penal punishment, life for a life. If somebody has killed somebody else, then his life must be taken unless the family members forgive that person. So this is the protection of the whole society. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned wealth, inheritance, especially in the family members, how it must be given out very briefly. So this is protection of the family. If you want love, muhabbat, and barakat in the family, then a person must ensure his monetary matters are dealt with correctly, especially with inheritance. So then there is barakat and blessings in our wealth. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the important law of roza and fasting, where they need protection of a person's nafs, control of a person's nafs. So if you want the whole society to be correct, our family life to be correct, and ourselves to be correct also, then a person will have to follow the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every command is for the protection of these three things. Our whole society as a whole, family, the whole family structure, and a person himself, how much he looks. So Allah ta'ala has given us all of these commands. And here especially Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned about fasting, which has been mentioned in great in detail, that Allah Ta'ala says, O people of Iman, fasting has been made faraz upon you people, like how it was made faraz upon the people before you. And the whole object of fasting is لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you will get the quality of taqwa within yourself. Here's one hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that a person who fasts in the month of Ramadan, إِمَانَ وَإِخْتِسَابًا, with Iman and Ikhtisab, then all his fastings will be forgiven. So now normally the ulama take the meaning of Iman, and Ikhtisab is meaning you must have Iman within yourself, and you must have sincerity with the action you are doing. Allama Shabir Ahmad Uthmani Rahmatullah Ali says, he says a person of Iman will definitely be keeping roza, only a person of Iman will fast. And he has to have ikhlas and sincerity when you're fasting, because how can a person, if you're deceiving somebody, you're not fasting, you're eating quietly. And roza especially is a quality of it shows ikhlas and sincerity in a person when a person is fasting. So you see this hadith actually means you have to go on to a higher level of Iman and Ihtisab. What it means is, when you are fasting, make the intention, Iman, that this is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person, he said, if you don't do this here, then the ibadah becomes mechanical, routinal. Everyone else is doing it, it's Ramadan, we're also fasting. So the reality of the fast doesn't come into a person's life. Similarly, for standing up at ibadah, in tarawih namaz, Imanan wa Ihtisaban. This is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Ihtisaban, I'm going to get reward for this here. And a person must keep in mind what reward he will get by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keep the fadail in front. When a person has got these two qualities, he said, this is the command of Allah Ta'ala. These are the rewards I'm going to get by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the action will get some ruh, it will get some soul in it. Don't be just done mechanical. I'm just doing an action of ibadat now, and I'm completing it. But now there will be soul and there will be life in that person's amal. So anyhow, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this about fasting, and then Allah mentions about the month of Ramadan. One speciality is that the Quran Sharif has been revealed in this month. The month itself was great, and then the Quran Sharif came down in the month and increased the status of the month also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what a Mubarak month. If the month comes, then a person must make sure he fasts. But if a person is sick or is on a journey, then Allah Ta'ala has given him concession. But the fasting is so great that he cannot leave it out. Fast another portion of the year, and he has to make qada of it. But he must make sure he keeps it, his fast. And then in India, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about dua. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. Dua, so especially during the month of Ramadan, dua has got a very great status. Dua is readily accepted when a person is fasting the whole day, from the time of Sayri till Iftari. The angels who are carrying the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they leave all of their work, and they are only answering the du'as of the Ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying Ameen to their du'as. And at night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes an announcement, who is there with asking from me, I am prepared to accept your du'as. So 24 hours of the day and night, du'as are readily accepted in the month of Ramadan. So we should take full advantage of this. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter speaks about i'tikaf, that now in the end of Ramadan, person sits in the masjid for 10 days. And also here the object is la'allahum yattaqoon, so that a person gets the quality of taqwa within himself. The whole object of Ramadan, the fasting and the i'tikaf, is to get taqwa within a person's self, the ability to abstain from sins. Because now he's making mujahada against his nafs, so this gives him a bit of control over his nafs. So it becomes easier for the remaining portion of the year now for a person to progress. Mirza Jana Jan Rahmatullah Ali said, if a person looks after the month of Ramadan correctly, then this will help him spiritually for the next 2 years. If you look after 1 month. And he says, whatever weakness a person has got in the month of Ramadan, then a person, he will not be able to cover up for the rest of the year because of that weakness. It will be extremely difficult for a person now to try to correct himself for the rest of the year if in the month of Ramadan he had some weakness within himself. So therefore, to look after the month of Ramadan to a great extent, stay away from sins, this will help a person throughout the year. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks thereafter about different masail, especially regarding Hajj, very great ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all the detailed laws of Hajj, and the great, great benefits. And Allah ta'ala says about certain people when they go for Hajj, they make dua also, but Rabbana atina fi dunya, only asking for this world, but nothing for the year after. On the other hand, there are those people who say, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana, wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. Oh Allah, give us goodness in this world, in the year after also give us goodness, and save us from the punishment of the fire. And the goodness in this world, ulama mentioned so much of detail. It can refer to ikhlas and sincerity, the tawfiq of good amal and actions, knowledge of deen, and true understanding of deen, halal, rosy and sustenance, a pious wife, pious children, goodness of every kind, good health also. You're asking Allah Ta'ala for all of this in his dua. It is the most jami'a dua, and it's mentioned that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, whenever he made a single dua, he would make this dua. And if Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made many du'as together, then this du'a was definitely included among the du'as of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It's a very jami and very comprehensive du'a. And in here also there is an ishara and sign that what a beautiful du'a, but you're making du'a for this dunya, one du'a, and two du'as for the akhirat. Allah give us the goodness in the year after and save us from the fire of Jahannam. So in here there is an ishara and a sign. Whenever we are making du'a, try to make majority of our du'a, 2/3 of our du'a for the akhirat, matters of the year after. And 1/3 of our du'as must be for the things of this world. You have to ask Allah Ta'ala for the things of this world, no problem. But unfortunately, many people, they only ask Allah Ta'ala for the things of this world. And that's among the first category of people. رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا. He's only worried about dunya. وَمَا لَوْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. But regarding the akhirat, because no, there's no portion for that person. So whenever we are making dua, make sure we are making dua, and majority of our dua should be for the matters of the akhirat. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding and the tawfiq to make amal. Thereafter, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala mentions many, many other masail and laws. People asking, what must they spend? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions who you must spend upon. And make sure you are spending on people who are in need and deserving and will appreciate it. Your parents spend on them, family members, yatims, orphans, poor people, travelers, whoever a person is spending, whatever good you are doing, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٌ. Allah ta'ala is fully aware of it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about fighting in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has been written farz upon you people, even though you might dislike it. There are many, many things you might dislike, but there is a lot of goodness for you in there. And there are certain things which you like, but there is harm for you. Allah knows best, and you people do not know. Wallahu ya'lamu wa antum la ta'lamun. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about khamar and maitir, wine and gambling. So there is some benefit in there, but the guna and the sin is much, much more greater and harmful. So therefore a person must abstain from it. Because this is one command Allah Ta'ala given, and eventually later on Allah Ta'ala completely prohibited people from using it. At that time it was still permissible. But Allah Ta'ala says, look at it is on usul and principle. There are many things there will be benefit in life. But on the other hand, the harm is extremely great. So a person, because of the greater harm, a person must abstain from it. So thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions getting married also is a very great ibadat. But do not get married to a mushrik woman. A woman is a polytheist. It's better if you get married to a slave girl also, but she's got iman within herself. Because a person, whoever you are staying with, has an effect upon a person. Company has an effect upon a person. Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى النَّارِ. They are calling you people to the fire of Jahannam. Whereas Allah is calling you towards Jannat and Allah's forgiveness. So rather get married to pious woman, because you'll be staying in her company all of the time. And if Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, a woman is married for one of four reasons. And if you got the reason of deen, first for the deen, you will be completely successful. So look at deen in a woman. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned certain masail regarding hayd, a woman is in hayd. See, as a man says, then a person should abstain. He should not have relations with his wife until she becomes pure, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves purity. And if a person wants to have relations with his wife, from any direction he can go to, but he cannot have anal sex. This is completely prohibited. Many, many hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, La'anat, Allah's curse be upon those people who do the action of the amal of Qawm Lut, homosexuality, and who go to their wives from the back, have anal intercourse. It's completely haram. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ. You can have one of two meanings, that the object of life is not for a person to fulfill his desires. It's a necessity in life, a person must fulfill it. Eating also is a necessity, it's not the object of life. وَقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ. Don't make this the object of your life, but send forward things to the akhirat. And make that the object of your life. That a person is now doing good actions, so he's preparing for the life of the year after. Oh, وَقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ. The object of nikah is to get children. When a person gets children, then he's sending forward for himself great goodness, because the children will be a means of his own akhirat being built up. Whatever good actions they will do in life, he will get the reward for it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this. And then in great detail also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about talaq, that a person in Islam has given permission for a man to give his wife talaq. It's abghadul mubahat, is permissible, but amongst the most despicable and disliked actions, which is permissible in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And but sometimes a man and woman cannot stay together, there is no compatibility. So Allah has given permission, but there are certain rules and regulations. It cannot become like a joke. The person is just giving 5 talaqs and 10 talaqs and 100 talaqs. Many people have got this misconception. They feel that you have to give your wife 3 talaqs for the talaq to take place. So this is completely incorrect. 1 talaq is sufficient. This is why when a person wants to give, if he has to give his wife talaq also, he should find out the masail. Because when a person gives his wife 3 talaq, now to get back to her, it's very difficult. Now only when she gets married to somebody else, and that person has to pass away, or that person has to divorce her after some time, then and she has to sit in the iddat again, then only it's permissible for a man to get married to her. So instead of going through all of that, the person must be very careful with his tongue, what he says, and he cannot take talaq a thing of a joke. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this masail in the Quran Sharif in great detail. All the matters when it comes to salah and zakat, all of this was explained to us by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A lot of tarheeb is given in the Quran, but the details were mentioned by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But in these matters of talaq, and the matters of the woman breastfeeding the child, and the matters of iddat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this in great, great detail. If a man has given his wife talaq, then she must sit for 3 hayz, 3 periods she will be sitting in a iddat. And if a person has to pass away, then a woman must sit for a iddat 4 months and 10 days. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned certain masail regarding that you cannot get married to her in that time, and you cannot even openly tell her, I want to get married to you, etc., until after the talaq, after her iddat is finished. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned also, when you give your wife talaq, what is the system of giving her talaq? That she's going to go now, but leave in a beautiful way. You must give her a gift also, to show that there's no ill feelings, now we are separating. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this in great detail. See, after the end of the kafara, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned two great amal and actions. One is to give one's life in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is called the jihad. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given some incidents here of the people of the past, and how they gave themselves for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it was small jamaat. كم من فئة قليلة غلبت فئة كثيرة بإذن الله. Small jamaat overpowered huge jamaat groups with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. والله مع الصابرين. Allah is with those people who have got the quality of sabr, and Allah's help and assistance is with them. Look at example, Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam and Jalut. He was such a powerful king, and he had so many soldiers with him and people under him. Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam outwardly was physically very weak, but how Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam destroyed him, he killed him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave all of this to Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam, al-mulka wal-hikmata, Allah gave him kingdom, and Allah ta'ala gave him wisdom. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the next para, in the third para, great ayat of the Quran, a'azamu ayat, in the greatest ayat in the Quran, ayat al-kursi is mentioned. It is 10 portions it has got. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name, some ulama say, is mentioned about 17 times. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions his great qudrat and his power in this ayat. And there are great virtues mentioned in one hadith. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever reads this ayat after every farz namaz, and he passes away, and between him and Jannah is only his death. Whoever reads this after every farz namaz, between him and death, between him and Jannah is only death. So we should make it a habit of reading the ayatul kursi after every farz namaz. If there are sunnahs, then after the sunnah namaz, we can read the ayatul kursi. And otherwise, like fajr and asr, we read it immediately thereafter, after our tasbihat. Then in one hadith, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu mentions, a person who reads his 11 verses, the first few verses of Surah Baqarah, Alif Lam Mim, Al-Muflihun, Ayat Al-Kursi, and the next two verses thereafter, and Lillahi ma fi samawati wa ma fil ardh. Till the end of the surah. So 11 verses. The beginning of Surah Baqarah, middle of Surah Baqarah, and the end of Surah Baqarah. We read these verses morning and evening. Then three great benefits the person will get. One is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect him from any, from shaitan for the whole day. Shaitan will leave that person's house for the whole day. He will not be affected by shaitan. And number two is that he will not see anything bad in his family. In his family and his wealth. He will not see any bad conditions. And number three, if he performed read also on a person who is mad, and himself will get ifaqah, he'll come out of that madness. This ayat is so powerful. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, student, he mentioned that whoever reads this year, every night, لم ينسى القرآن, he won't forget this Qur'an Sharif. Especially for the Hafiz of Qur'an, we should make sure every night we read it. Morning and evening also we can recite it. There are great, great virtues regarding these verses. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions regarding Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and a certain debate he had with certain people, and then the great masail of spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person is spending what Allah was giving in place of that day, you were given like one grain, it goes into the ground, and now 700 grains come out from there. And Allah says, this is the minimum. Allah increases much, much more for those whom He wants to. And really Allah ta'ala, His terms are very, very great, and Allah knows exactly how you're spending, what intention you have got. But after spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now do not show off and boast to people, I've done this action, I gave you so much. And do not cause taklif and difficulty to the poor person. Do not chase him away and reprimand him, even after giving him wealth. It is better to have good words and to ask the person for forgiveness than giving him sadaqah and charity and then thereafter telling him many evil things and swearing him, etc. Remember, Allah is independent and Allah is very forbearant. Allah Ta'ala gives you charge and refrain. So, O people of Iman, do not destroy your sadaqah and your charity which you are giving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives some examples of when a person spends in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with ikhlas and sincerity, how it grows. And those who spend without sincerity, the thing is completely destroyed, is of no real benefit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says when you are spending, spend the best wealth which a person has got. Do not give such wealth which you yourself will not be prepared to accept. And you'll actually, unless you're forced to accept it, give something now in the path of Allah, not whatever is rotten now, we give it away in charity. And all our good things we are utilizing ourselves. But what you love yourself, also give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌ حَمِيدٌ. Allah is completely independent. He's full of praises. And shaitan comes to you now and he promises a person you'll get poverty if you spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He commands you with immorality. But Allah Ta'ala commands you and promises you, Allah will forgive you, and Allah will give you much, much more. So when a person is spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mustn't become frightened, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's treasuries are greatly open. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions where must the person spend. And especially for those people who are kept in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are spending our money on, example, students of deen. And a person's zakat also, if you find somebody who will not go around all the time, is asking people for wealth. La yastati'una darban fil ardh, he's not able to make suffer and travel in the earth. He is confining himself to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is one of the best places where a person can give his zakat money. These people, you will recognize them by their signs and their faces. They won't come and ask you and beg from you and please give me money. So whatever goodness a person is spending, Allah is fully aware of it. But this is one beautiful place for a person to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then on the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about interest. It's يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيَبْلِي الصَّدَقَاتِ. Allah ta'ala destroys interest. Outwardly it seems you are getting more. And whereas Allah Ta'ala has made halal buying and selling, but Allah has made riba completely haram. And the whole world today, unfortunately, comes in the hadith that we won't be utilizing riba, maybe, but we are definitely feeling the effects of riba. Every single person in this world is connected to the banking system, our money, and all of this. Yeah, actually, we should ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness, make tawbah. We're not using the riba directly, but indirectly, we are definitely affected by the smoke of riba and interest. And there are great, great warnings. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Declare, Allah Ta'ala declares war. And the Rasul said, Allah Ta'ala declares war on a person who is taking this interest money. Very harmful it is. So, and there are many, many hadith regarding the harm of taking riba and interest. It's worse than making zina about 37 times with one's own mother also. Just you can understand the great harm of this interest. And at the end of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions our dealings, business dealings also, we make sure we are writing down, especially if it is a credit, transaction of credit, you're taking a loan. But if it's a cash transaction, then there's no problem. Immediately a person doesn't have to write it down. But whenever there's something written down, there's more protection for a person. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this. And at the end of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ayatul kursi, which we have mentioned, a great virtue. Every night we should try to recite it in the morning also. Where a person is saying, sami'ana wa ta'ana, oh Allah, we hear and we obey. Forgive us for our weaknesses and shortcomings. We will try to obey all your commands. And when a person does this here, And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for a person. So this must be the quality of a believer, that we humble ourselves and say, Allah, we accept and we hear. And not a person now, we got doubt, like how the Bani Israel had, and they start putting now, I cannot do it, this is too difficult for us. But a true believer is one who hears and obeys, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy for a person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us true understanding.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, nahmaduhu wa nasalli ala rasulihil kareem. عن أبي الدرداء رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا أخبركم بخير أعمالكم وأزكاها عند مليككم وأرفعها لدرجاتكم وخير لكم من إعطاء الذهب والورق وخير لكم من أن تلقوا عدوكم فتضربوا رقابهم ويضربوا رقابكم ذكر الله عز وجل. حضرت ابو درداء رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ کی روایت ہے کہ رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا کیا میں تمہیں تمہارا وہ عمل نہ بتاؤں جو سب سے بہتر ہے اور تمہارے مالک کی نظر میں سب سے زیادہ پاکیزہ ہے اور تمہارے درجات کو بلند کرنے والا ہے اور سونا چاندی کے صدقے سے بھی زیادہ بہتر ہے اور اس سے بھی بہتر ہے کہ تم دشمن سے تکڑ لو اور ان کے سر قلم کرو اور وہ تمہاری گردنیں اڑائے. صحابہ کرام رضی اللہ تعالیٰ علیہ اجمعین نے عرض کیا اللہ کے رسول کیوں نہیں ایسا اونچا عمل ضرور ارشاد فرمائے. آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا وہ اللہ کا ذکر ہے. حضرت ابو درداء رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ reports that نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم once said to the صحابہ shall I not inform you of an action which is the best of all deeds, constitutes the best act of piety in the eyes of your Lord, will elevate your status in the hereafter, and carries more virtue than the spending of gold and silver for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or taking part in jihad and slaying or being slain in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'een begged to be informed of such an act. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, it is the dhikr of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.